Hello and welcome to Earworm Island. I'm Jeff White, and on each episode I invite my very special guest to imagine marooning their worst enemy on a desert island, accompanied by the four most terrible records ever made. My guest this week is Carole Terrio, co-host of the Smashing Security podcast. Carole, hello.
Yes, co-host and co-producer. That'll become very important in a little while. Thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. I'm very excited to be here.
No problem. And this is sort of a departure from, obviously, we've talked before, and I've appeared on your podcast talking about security, tech security, but this is a new departure. Are you a bit of a muso secretly? Has it been difficult to come up with the tracks?
Well, it was. I am actually a muso, but of course, because I'm putting someone on the island, I don't want to give them great songs.
No, that's the point.
And it turns out I don't actually spend a lot of time listening to songs I don't like. So that turned out to be a little bit challenging, but I think I've done a fairly good job. You'll let me know.
Okay. Well, yes, the choices are certainly yes. You've risen to the brief, is what I'll say.
Thank you very much.
Before we get onto the music, though, so are you, obviously you're sending somebody to the island with this terrible music. Have you got somebody in mind specifically that you're thinking of dispatching to this, this place?
So this was also difficult because, you know, to put someone on an island, you have to really not like them. Mm-hmm. That's what I first thought. Like, is this an enemy? Is this someone that drives me nuts? You know, and you're thinking about the celebs that you can't stand. But then, I don't know, maybe it's a Canadian thing. I started kind of feeling bad. Like, even if you're a celeb, you have feelings. So I was like,
you have clearly not passed the empathy test for this program, have you?
So I was kind of like thinking, oh, there's this old boss I really couldn't stand, and I could put him there. And I thought, oh no, it's. So then I thought maybe I need to think about this in a different way. Like, I don't want to make just people suffer, but mm-hmm. wouldn't it be good if I could improve them in some way through this experience?
So they start bad, but through the redemption of terrible music.
Well, if we focused on their less good points, this island experience with this music might open their minds a little bit.
It's for their own good, is what you're saying. It's kind of
maybe, you know, sometimes it can be hard to get through to people, especially if you spend a lot of time with them. So without any further ado, I am putting my co-host and co-producer Graham Clutley on the island.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
He does not know this. So.
How long have you and Graham known each other? What's been the
20 plus years we've worked together, and we've known each other for that long, and we've worked fairly closely together. So I know him quite well, and there are things that drive me absolutely nuts about the guy. So I thought we could focus on a few of those.
And he's also a tech security expert, we should explain. So
yes.
That's presumably how you guys got to know each other.
That's right. So we got to know each other at a big corporation that focused on computer security. Then we both left the company on the same day, actually.
Oh, right.
I started, but see, this is the thing, with Graham, right? I decided to leave about a month earlier. And then a month in, he was just like, I can't be here if you're not, I can't do this. So we both left. And then within about a year or two after we started our own businesses, we decided to do the Smashing Security podcast together, which is now it's in its third year and doing great.
Wow.
But there's things that could be improved there. And I'm hoping this experience might do that.
This is interesting. So I haven't sort of come across this in a series so far. So the idea with this is, he's on a desert island, but you'll get him back at some stage, hopefully an improved version.
Maybe, I'm hoping.
Oh, maybe.
We'll have fun on the island. At least I'll have fun watching and, you know, doing the island experience. At least, you know, be a good hurrah.
And have you sort of had a chance to think about how Graham might end up on this particular island? Is it what accident, what mishap has befallen him?
That's interesting. No, I didn't think about that. See, I was thinking more that I needed this to be very psychological because he knows me quite well. So I need to, it's like warfare time for me here. So I was thinking, okay, if he found out that I was putting, let's imagine you just go pick him up and say, hi, Graham, Carl's put you on the island, let's go.
Right, yeah.
He's going to immediately start thinking what I've got set up for him.
Oh, nice, yes,
right?
Yeah.
And we're all trapped and bored here, right? He knows that. We're all under the COVID lockdown.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So I was thinking the way we explain it to him, it's a big brother concept, right? Because he'll know that the whole world is watching him 24/7.
Oh,
there's hidden cameras everywhere.
Oh,
right.
Right. Surveillance Island, right. Got it. Okay.
Surveillance Island. But actually, there's none of it. Okay. And why this is so good is that he's going to constantly be hamming it up for the cameras.
Oh, that's cold.
Yes. But it's I'll tell you why this comes from. It's because sometimes on the show, I can hear him because I know him well. I can hear him ham it up because, maybe he's practiced too much or not enough or whatever. I can just hear there's a change. And I know it because I know him so well that it drives me nuts when I hear it because I want him just to be him because he's funny. He's great. So this will show him because he'll be able to, after when he comes out, he'll want to see the footage and we'll be like, well, no one saw you. There's no footage. No one saw anything that happened.
Oh, that's bleak. I had the same idea for a reality show where you audition contestants and you get the sort of loudest, most obnoxious people who think they're going to be famous because of this. And then you just lock them in a house and just walk off. And then a month later, you go back, you open the doors and say, yeah, we didn't film any of it. Try and find the nearest bus stop and make your way home.
Yeah, exactly.
Just crushing somebody's dreams.
Exactly. And we could even make it worse by randomly reading out fake algorithmic comments based on his behavior. But they won't be in real time, right? So it'll be just something, and it'll be really deadpan, but it'll be something like, can I swear on this show?
Oh, yes, I'm sure.
Yeah, so say it's like some user like at shitface says, God, Graham doesn't look very good, or why is he wearing that? Or, just things like that. But they come out at different times, so we can't really tie it to any behavior. And of course, no one's watching. So.
Yes, and you could just throw in random challenges, but then not watch him doing them. Make a theme park out of coconut husks. So he just builds the theme park, but we're not watching. We don't care whether he builds it or not. But as far as he's concerned, this is his ticket to to fame and fortune.
I don't know. Maybe I'm getting deep because I've been locked down too long. But it's like if a tree falls in the forest anywhere, they hear it, just make a noise.
Yes.
Right?
This is the reality show equivalent. Yeah.
And so actually, I'm hoping that his experience is real no matter what. It doesn't have to, no one has to watch for it to be real.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And that would be a really good learning experience if he got off the island to come back to the show with.
Yes. Fantastic. I love it. This is great. This is deep as well.
Well, you see, I am the deep one. I bring the depth to it.
Yes, of course. Okay, so this is interesting. So we have to imagine your co-host from Smashing Security, Graham Cluley, has hauled himself up onto the island, knows that basically, well, believes he's under surveillance, and believes this is a kind of, you've been set this challenge for him as a sort of test to send him there and inflict stuff on him. The island is then
Japanese game show styley.
The island is then wired for sound, and the first song that's going to sort of sneak out of the speakers at him. Which one have you picked for the opening?
Oh, the first song, probably I think the Kate Bush "Wuthering Heights." I don't know, homage. Shall we call it? Called the chiptune cover.
The chiptune cover of Kate Bush's "Wuthering Heights." Right? Shall we have a listen?
We shall.
Oh, wow.
it's shrill, isn't it?
Instantly recognizable, though.
It is. So I think he might start enjoying this a bit too much. Maybe this wasn't such a good choice until you get to this bit. Yeah.
Oh, that...
It hurts.
Whether you like the original or not, if you like the original, this is ruinous. If you don't like the original, it's ruinous. Gets you either way.
Yeah, it's really, really quite bad.
Wow, that is the... We should explain. I've never understood chip tune. I know what it sort of sounds like. It sounds like that. But what do people compose it themselves? Or can they automatically turn the song into that? How does it sort of work?
I think you can automatically do it. I don't know. I'm just really into this kind of like trying to 8-bit things. And somehow they're still recognizable. So I tried to become a musician and failed miserably after 2 years. I have a much better understanding of music now. And I can play and understand, music theory. Mm. But I'm really just not a good hand at doing it. But Graham considers himself quite a musician.
Oh,
and
right.
He came to my wedding. He was my best man at my wedding, actually. And we had a singer there, and he came on and took the microphone from the singer and started
not
singing.
Song. Sure.
No, but then just kind of wouldn't give the microphone back. And he's often in tune, but it has this kind of feel, you know? And my mom
came up to me. He's a human 8-bit.
Yeah, my mom came up to me. She goes, that's his third song. Is he going to do more? So very funny. So I think this will maybe help him understand that not everyone wants to hear his version of all the songs. He always sings louder than everybody else, right? He's a bit louder. So we hear his version.
Is he a fan of Kate Bush? I mean, is this
oh,
also
yes.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, well, that's going to hurt.
He loves Kate Bush, which I find very surprising. But
see, yes, this is really going to get on his nerves.
Yeah. But he'll get bored. He may get bored, right? So
he might
have to listen to it.
Nobody could get bored to the level where they're going to put this on and enjoy it. That's cool. That's not going to happen.
Okay, then this is a successful choice. Then.
But a good choice, yes. Also, I just for advice, never try and do Wuthering Heights as a karaoke number.
You have to tell that story.
It starts off okay, but then, you know, you get halfway in and you suddenly realize the vocal range that Kate Bush has got is hard even for good singers to emulate. And you just, and there's no way of making it sound like fun, like you've done it badly because it's fun. You just sound awful in a really direct and immediate way. Never do it karaoke.
Can you sing?
No,
Jeff?
God, I'm hopeless. Hopeless.
Really?
No. And also with karaoke, I start off in one, what is it, pitch or register? I start off like this and then I go down and I can't quite find where the thing's supposed to be. So if I get asked to do karaoke, I do Jump Around by the House of Pain.
That's a great
show. Because people are too busy bouncing around the karaoke booth to notice that I can't actually sing.
Oh, wow. I think everyone can sing.
What about you? Have you got, what's your karaoke?
I like Hello from Lionel Richie.
Oh, nice.
When I was a kid, my brothers and I used to mimic that song. I don't know why, but I have these, you know, we used to actually try and, you know, pretend to be like the Lionel Richie, pretending to be blind and doing the whole video. So
did you have some plasticine heads to work on? Because in the video at the end, she's a blind woman who makes a plus.
We had a styrofoam one, you know, like one. I don't know why we had the styrofoam head. I guess like the one that you put wigs on, but no one I think in our house wore wigs. I don't know where that came from. I don't know. Anyway, but yeah, we had one of those to pretend. Mud what? We used outside. Yeah, we were often outside. I think we my brothers were twins. We were loud.
It was a family reason for that. Let's stick them outside and see. So that's a good opening gambit.
Okay.
For this, I think that's a winner. So Cluley's on the island, and we should talk about this. I mean, have you sort of had a chance to think about what the island looks like, what the setup is?
Yeah. Yes, I have. So you know, he's a bit of a gamer. Is our Graham, right? So, but he really doesn't like sandy things, rocky stuff, hot, that kind of stuff, beaches. So I've chosen Mario Kart's Peach Beach.
Oh, right. Okay.
Now, the reason this works is because he loses his attention all the time, right? Mm. So if we're not discussing Doctor Who, Smashing Security, or chess, you can basically assume that he's looking at something else or doing something else, right? And especially if he's been quiet for about 15 seconds and hasn't interjected in some way, he's basically not listening. Mm-hmm. So I've chosen this island because every now and then a red shell will hit him in the ass. Right? Or there'll be banana skins everywhere, right?
Yes.
No bananas.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? And he gets whiny. A rain cloud will appear over his head and start blasting him with thunder and rain and lightning.
Oh, nice. And every now and again, he might be sort of super boosted into a pool of water, but
That's
then
right.
positioned back at exactly where he was before he got super boosted into it. Yeah.
That's right. And then, of course, he'll wink to the non-existent cameras, right? Say, I'm okay, guys. I'm okay. Don't worry.
Yeah. Brilliant. So this is so he's out and about getting sand, getting hit in the butt by turtle shells. What's the as he's doing all of this, what's the soundtrack? What's going to play behind him? Which one goes?
Good choice. Okay. Well, I think he needs kind of to remember what he does for a living, right? So and he's a computer security expert. He'll claim that he's one of top 11 top Britons, technology contributors to Britain. Mm. I think it was a technology rag, like maybe 15 years ago, that did a top 10 list of amazing Britons who, and their, you know, their contribution to tech. And, you know, they had things like Alan Sugar in the list. Mm. And then at the very bottom, there was like a mention, you know, like a, we're going to mention, they mentioned Graham Cluley.
Oh, really?
And he went crazy. He actually got a t-shirt made saying 11 greatest Britain and wore it to work regularly. And he sat like 2 meters in front of me and I had to look at it all day.
Getting a t-shirt made of that is impressive. I mean, mentioning is bad, but you know.
Yeah, so obviously he has to remember that he's important in computer security. Mm-hmm. So I've chosen this song from a New Zealand singer called Wing.
This is Safe Computer by Wing. Let's go for it.
Hello, this is Wing. With a brand new dance, the Safe Computer Swing.
Right? The Safe ready? Computer Swing.
Wow. Let's go.
Computer sing. Computer swing.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Computer walk.
I think she writes all these herself.
All the lyrics herself. Wow, well, that's... That must take hours.
Yeah, she's got unicorns in there, but he, of course, won't have the video. I think he should probably wake up to this every morning. This should be his exercise routine.
This is the wake-up call.
Yeah. She goes wiki wikipedia.
Just to describe, because obviously we're watching the YouTube video, which I'll try and put in the links. I mean, this she looks like a, you know, the in North Korea they have the broadcast of the newsreader who's very sort of stern and wears a kind of North Korean thing. There's an element of that, of sort of instructional videos from North Korea about this, I find. And just the lyrics.
Well, she's quite famous in, she does a lot of covers. And you know, at first, because Graham is such a fan of the Beatles, I thought I would choose, she does a few Beatle covers and they are pretty great. They start off very strong rather than having this kind of, tin drum music. They tend to have almost the real track, but then her voice comes in at a very shrill level. And, so it was a bit of a toss up, but I thought it was more important that he remembered what he's all about, computing.
I like the idea that this could be the wake up song and that he does a sort of exercise regimen, because you could also sort of say, you know, as part of your challenge for your non-existent Big Brother filming, you have to do the dance every morning and maybe wear a special outfit. What about that?
Well, I've already, yes, you're right onto my next. I do have outfits already set up because, of course, he thinks people are watching. Mm. He can say you are, you know, the people are choosing outfits for you.
Oh,
right. So every day you have to present yourself to the outfit. Now, obviously, it'll just be me or whoever puts an outfit in there.
Yes.
But one day he might be presented with, you know, I don't know, a carnival outfit, maybe, you know, some stilettos. He hates shoes that are either like where he's not on solid ground. So hence all the sand. But also if the shoes are loose or not tightly, flip flops would be a no-no. So it'd be a lot of flip flops or stilettos would be good. You know, maybe maybe Moob stamps one day he could have.
What?
Yeah, like, you know, like you have booby stamps, right? When you're like, say, a carnival dancer, but you have moobies.
Oh,
boobies and moobies, man, so these, boobs.
Oh, like sort of nipple tassel kind of things, covering.
Yeah. Moobie tassels.
Moobie tassels.
Yeah, that's right. And
oh, wow. Yeah. And now I do want it filmed because.
Well, you know, if we can get the right sponsorship.
I love that. Just an airdrop each day of just random clothes that have been picked by people that he thinks he has to wear. That is. Oh, yes.
You know that show, those shows, there was the girls, the Lena Dunham show, and there was Ugly Betty. So I know that both of them had their clothes sewn badly on purpose to make them look more frumpy and uncomfortable as characters. Yeah, yeah. So the characters so they were always looking like they weren't right sitting. Right. And so I want that seamstress who's going to construct all these clothes. And the whole game plan here, I've twisted this into being a good thing for the future.
Because he needs a lot of comfort, right?
Yes,
guy. So all this is going to teach him that it's okay. So the material will be itchy, maybe a little bit. Just a little irritating, right? Yeah. So he gets to...
A little too revealing, you know, like T-shirts and shirts that just end with a little bit of belly revealed, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Butt's missing.
We get, we've cut the butt cheeks out of every pair of trousers. This is excellent. This is very good. The island, by the way, have we got sort of animals? Is there kind of fauna, flora, plants? What's the sort of setup from that direction?
Yeah, no, I didn't. He's not a very. I think I'm worried that, you know, I think he needs to focus on himself and not focus. So I kind of want him to be almost like in a meditative, you know, state, him on his Peach Beach Island with the banana skins and the red shells hitting him in the ass.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought about food, though.
Yes, I was going to ask about that, yeah.
So he has a few deep-seated hatreds when it comes to food.
Mm-hmm.
So things like coffee.
Right.
Which I love.
Which, of course, will be the only drink available on the island.
Right.
huge espresso machines dangling from the trees.
You see, he'd be expecting that. You see, so again, I go into psychological warfare, right? So there's three things I know he hates.
Are you sure you're Canadian? This is.
I know, but I've known him a long time, so you get sneaky, right? It's a bit like the Twits. It's a bit like Roald Dahl's The Twits. You know, I don't know if you ever read that, but the way they get to each other, Mr. Twit and Mrs. Twit, how they get each other is pretty spectacularly creative.
Right.
And it's because they know each other so well. They know how to drive each other insane.
Right.
So he knows that I know that coffee, peanuts, and ginger are three big things, right? Mm-hmm. So I would have a fountain available, like a school fountain.
Oh, yeah.
I know, and there'd be cold water all the time, but randomly.
Every now and again.
Yeah, hot coffee spurts out.
Oh.
Right? Not hot, not McDonald's hot, not burn your face hot. Just, you know, I don't want to burn him. But just hot enough to be irritating and annoying.
So it's sort of Russian roulette with the water fountain.
Yes. Oh, and that's cold. So then the ginger and the peanuts, right? So when foods arrive, particularly his favorite ones. So ones I was thinking, like, he really likes tuna and peas and ice cream and things like that. So there'll always be a little sprinkling, right? Peanuts or ginger. And on Sunday, we could satay it up.
Oh,
right?
Nice. Right? Yeah.
With a cup of espresso.
A sprinkling that you could try and remove, but you never quite get all of it off. So there's always the sense.
That's right. For dessert, five will be like Obama. Didn't Obama have something like seven almonds? So we'll give him seven M&Ms, the peanut ones, of course.
Well, he doesn't have an allergic reaction to peanuts, does he, or something?
No, of course not. I'm not
dislikes
them. Jeff.
No, of course
just
not.
Just needs to learn to love them because they're very delicious things.
This is right. So, yeah, the training that's going to – are you sure you don't – he's got to come back after this island experience, surely, with all of his newfound sort of, you know.
I think he's going to be grateful. I think he's going to come to me and go, "Crawl, I am now a better person." Oh, yeah, there's one more thing with the food. So one of the things so I make bread, right? That's what I've been made bread my whole life. But I don't think Graham has ever shown an interest. He loves eating it.
Hmm.
It's never made. So he'll have to make his own bread every day.
Right.
And that's a personal kickback for me because when he comes back, when I say something like, "Oh, my bulk ferment isn't working," he'll be like, "I know what you mean." Right? Go, bulk ferment. Right?
Empathy Island. I like this.
Okay, good. I'm glad.
So he's settling into the island. He's kind of got the hang to stay away from the water fountain and scrape the peanuts off the food.
he's waving at his non-existent fans.
Just as things have got, he's started to get a working routine up. But what are you going to spring on him to completely unsettle him?
Well, he is a big Doctor Who fan. Mm-hmm. And I, of course, am a Star Trek girl.
And never the twain shall meet.
Well, I have watched quite a bit of Doctor Who with him, actually, over the years. I've thought about it, and I have. Many, he's like, "Oh, you got to watch this," because he tricks you into it.
They do that, don't they? People who've got an obsession with stuff go, "You must watch this one, because it's different to what you think." It's, you know.
Yeah. Episode 7. This one's so much better. Yeah. So I've fallen for those a number of times. So, but never has he watched a Star Trek with me, right? So I have the firm Star Trekking, 1987 song, which I find very difficult to listen to, and I hope he will too.
Oh, the puppets! Yes, I remember this one.
Yeah.
Yes, it's this is bringing back many. Yeah, it is catchy, isn't it?
Every time you start humming it when it's not playing, the island goes down by a whole foot. It just drops.
Boy, let's stop that there. Wow. Yeah, I remember this. There was a whole, it sort of fits into, there's a whole bunch of parody songs.
Well, there's quite a few good ones we could have chosen because Leonard Nimoy has done some of his own recordings. Of course, really? William Shatner is an incredible artist, which I would love on my island, but I didn't want to give him for this exercise. So
this one is certainly the most irritating of the Star Trek songs, is it not?
Yes, totally. Well, the reason I've chosen it is because it's kind of also catchy. So he's going to start humming it and singing it. And then every time he does, we're going to just drop the island by a foot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just drop it by a foot. And so then he'll have to stop, but he won't be able to stop himself because he'll start humming it again or whistling it.
Oh, I see. So it's like it's almost like a global warming parody of the island getting smaller and smaller because it's getting more...
But it's also to stop, because every time I would sing, you know, if I ever happened to be humming a song, within 10 seconds, he'd be humming it louder and incorrectly.
Well,
right?
This is interesting. So hang on. So what about you have it so that whenever he starts humming this tune, the island starts to gets a foot under, but he has to do something like, I don't know, eat a bag of peanuts to get the foot back, to winch the island up again.
Oh, see, Jeff, I knew you'd come on board. I knew you'd come on board. I love that. Yes.
Drink some coffee and you'll get the foot of the island back that's sunk into the sea. Yeah, nice.
And he has to say, I'm sorry, Carol, just for all the things in the past. And then he'll get the island back. So 10 peanuts, 10 peanuts and an apology.
For somebody who had trouble imagining how you might inflict pain on an enemy, you seem to be adapting to this remarkably well.
Am I?
Yes, this is Revenge Island. This is Carol's Revenge Island.
Do you think he wouldn't enjoy it? You don't think he'll be grateful?
Yes, Carol, I think he'll be very grateful. I think the overriding sentiment as Star Trek in and Wuthering Heights belt out of the speakers will be one of forgiveness. I can't imagine what other emotion he'd be feeling at this point.
Oops, there goes a red shell.
Whang! right, so it's almost time for your last song choice. I think, is there a particular sort of time or era or period of the day or you know, period of his island existence where you think this one would work?
I think this one, this last one, has to be like the coffee. Hmm. It has to just show up randomly.
Unannounced.
Unannounced. But maybe it'll start with the loudspeaker saying something like, the people have chosen. just so he is reminded that everyone is there watching to see how he reacts to it. Rickrolled.
Oh, it had to happen.
I've pulled this off a number of times with him over the centuries, decades we've known each other.
No to love. I think Rick Astley is definitely a stranger to love, particularly this time.
What an outfit. That could be an outfit you give him as well, for him to have this, the outfit that Rick Astley has.
That he has to wear while dancing to it. That could be one of his challenges. Let's leave that one there. It's fascinating because I'd forgotten watching the video how young Rick Astley was, but also how geeky. I mean, he sort of looks like he's a really unlikely
a younger version.
He's a bit more slicked back, I think, than Graham. Mm-hmm. But he doesn't look. He looks sort of like such an unlikely pop star. He doesn't. He looks like the kid at school who, you know, who'd get bullied and be good at maths and stuff. He doesn't. I don't know. Yep. Maybe that's just me. I'm not looking at him thinking four.
Yeah, but at 651 million views on this channel alone, who's laughing his way to the bank?
I know. It is a classic, the old Rick Roll. It's interesting how this has become, how this particular song has become the thing that you surprise people with unpleasantly. I sort of wonder where in the genesis of music that happened, where the Rick Astley Never Going to Give You Up became the thing to inflict on people.
It was a music award show. Hmm. I think it was MTV, and you could vote for your favorite song. And I think what happened is everyone on the internet said, let's vote for Rick Astley.
Oh, I see. And it became,
And I think it got something like 100 million or something like this, like a crazy number. And it totally won just based on this kind of, and it was one of the first kind of entertainment crowdsourcing events. But then it became a classic, and I've been using it on him unimaginatively for over a decade.
And ultimately, you've got the perfect opportunity to do this on the island, because you can inflict it on him at any time of day or night, and it will always be an unpleasant surprise, and you get to sort of jumble when it's going to happen.
Yes, maybe we could make sure that he has to dance like Rick Astley when Rick Astley, and people will judge him based on it. But of course, again, no one's there.
I think sort of middle of the night kind of thing, sort of, you know,
renditioning. See, you're meaner than me.
Severe renditioning stuff.
There's the British streak.
Brilliant. Well, I think that's a fantastic selection of songs to inflict, really, actually, on anybody, but Graham particularly. I think, obviously, we give our cast away certain things to go to the island with. So they, as a matter of course, they get the complete works of Dan Brown and a copy of Russell Brand's My Bookie Work. But we also give them not quite a luxury. We give them something that's going to saddle them with something that they just then have to have that doesn't really do them much good. Have you thought of what, quote unquote, luxury you would give Graham?
Yes. Well, it's something that I've already given to him, but I'm going to imagine that he's forgotten it and not brought it with him on the island. Or in fact, maybe he's already thrown it out.
Yeah, that's fair enough, because he would have left things behind or ditched them.
Exactly.
The sea.
Yeah. So this was a set of bagpipes.
Oh.
Because it's
so you can make music, but only really bad music with them.
Well, exactly. Look, I'm thinking it's COVID time. We want to make sure his lung capacity stays strong and good. So at least he's got the bagpipe to help him working out on that front.
That's true. I wonder whether whether people have tracked infections among bagpipe players, just to sort of see whether that's a thing. Yeah, it's a good point.
Right. So I'm thinking that that'll be good. Also, it's very, very difficult to make a pleasant noise.
Yeah.
And of course, remember, he's entertaining his imaginary audience.
Of course. Yeah. So he's got to. Yeah.
So maybe he has to do a daily show of a new song or new ditty he's worked on. Because ultimately it's going to make him a better bagpipe player. So, you're welcome, Graham. You're welcome.
I think there's a couple of tweaks we could make to this. I think, you know, the thing you put the bag you put under your arm is probably a name for that. The tatty bag or whatever it's called.
Cheap intestine, isn't it, originally?
You could make that sort of ever so slightly moist, and just so that when you squeeze it, just sort of a slight odour comes out, like a sort of,
Yes.
You know when your stuff hasn't dried on the radiator and it's got that sort of, stale water smell?
Yes.
And the thing you blow into could taste slightly of peanuts as well.
Jeff, you're great. I'm so glad you did this with me, because you have improved my entire desert island for him immeasurably.
Fantastic. I think that is absolutely perfect, and you will get him back a changed man.
Exactly, and a grateful man.
Cool. Thank you so much for joining us and giving your island suggestions. I really appreciate that.
Thank you. This has been an amazing experience. Cathartic, even.
Folks, that is it for this episode. I'd like to thank my guest, Carole Terrio. And if you'd like to be my guest on a future episode, if you think you can cut the musicological mustard, get in touch with me. I'm Jeff at gwhite.info or jeffwhite247 over on Twitter. Thanks for listening. Catch you again soon.